Pacific Mornings.
Now, the magnificent rifle bird is pretty common in Papua New Guinea. The colour of the male's plume, however, is not. They're a jet black bird with this iridescent blue-green plume up around their throat area, and it shimmers in the sunlight. And the colours come into full display during the Bird of Paradise's mating display. We're becoming very David Attenborough in this section of Pacific Mornings. Now, what they're doing is that they dance and they beat their wings in a bid to impress their mate. And while there are videos of this process online, zoos really haven't had any luck helping the birds get down to business when they're in captivity. Until now, the Port Moresby Nature Park has just revealed it has successfully bred the rifle bird. And to help explain what happened, I'm joined by Brett Smith, the curator of the Port Moresby Nature Park. Hello.
Good morning.
So how excited were you when you successfully bred the rifle bird?
We were very excited. It wasn't something we had sort of really planned on happening this year. We just sort of put some birds in some aviaries and left them to be. And then, the staff came and told me that there was eggs in the nest. So it was very exciting. Yeah. And when they finally hatched out, it was amazing.
Because I was about to ask how hands-on you get during the breeding process. So what do you do to help facilitate it?
Yeah, we try to be as hands-off as possible. They're in a very large walk-through aviary, so the public can still see them quite close up and they can fly around the public. But as far as the staff, we don't really handle them at all. We just let them be as natural as possible.
The fact that they are in, you know, people are walking around and that, you know, they are in their cages, do they suffer from, you know, stage fright? Or, you know, how hard is it to breed, are these birds to breed while they are in captivity?
I mean, we haven't had success in the past and that's why I was a little bit surprised. But, I mean, the birds are getting very close to the public, so they're not shy at all. I mean, you can see them. I mean, you generally hear them before you see them. They have just in your caption just then, you saw that you could hear the wings flapping, and that's very similar to what the sound you hear when they're flying through the air. So more often than not, people will hear them flying through the canopy of the aviary before they actually can see and spot them.
So are we in like prime rifle bird breeding period? So is there a chance that this was going to happen?
Yeah, we were at the stage. It was the breeding season for the Bird of Paradise, and so we were sort of expecting some action, and we could witness the female collecting nesting material and building her nest, which we see quite often. But through different circumstances, we hadn't had them lay eggs before. So when she actually sat down and had the eggs and was sitting tight, incubating them, we were very excited to see what was going to happen.
And how many eggs did she lay?
So they only laid two eggs, which she did successfully, and we're also very lucky that both eggs hatched, which doesn't always happen, but like in the wild, only one chick survived, because what happens quite often is, the chicks will compete against each other for food for them from their mother and from the father, and only the one chick survived. We're not sure what happened to the second chick. We never found a body or anything like that, so we're not too sure at what stage it died, because we were very much hands-off.
Yeah.
You know, being the first time, it was just let them be.
Yeah, exactly. And it also, I guess, creates like a trusted environment for the other birds to know that, you know, if this is successful, there isn't going to be a human coming in and, you know, taking the egg or doing something that, I don't know if birds have distress in the same way that humans might, but, you know, something like that. Does the new little chick have a name?
No, not as yet. No, we haven't named it.
Any ideas for a name? Are you going to put it out to the public or anything like that?
We might do. I mean, it's now at the stage where it's fully fledged and looking after itself. So now we're very confident, that it's going to live on to adulthood and all the rest. So now we might start searching for a name, and that's why we've gone public now.
Yeah.
We were a little bit hesitant at the start to make sure it was surviving. So. Mm.
And why is it important to have these captive breeding programs? I know that the Port Moresby Nature Park is a real, like, learning park. So what do the people learn through these experiences?
Yeah, so the aviary that these birds are in is one of our campaigning aviaries where we really try to educate the public and the school kids that come through our park about preserving feathers, because feathers are very important to the culture of Papua New Guinea for their headdresses, for the sing-sings and ceremonial purposes. So one of the things we're seeing is that the bird populations all across the country are declining because of the overuse and overhunting for the feathers for their headdresses. But by going back to traditional methods of storing them correctly and looking after your feathers, you can keep those feathers for up to 15 to 20 years.
Wow.
And so there's not that need to go out annually hunting animals to fulfill those practices of making the headdresses. So that takes a little bit more pressure off the wild populations if you can, look after your feathers more better and store them correctly. Then there's not as much pressure on those birds out in the wild.
Yeah. And then obviously with conservation methods too, to ensure that, endangered species don't become, extinct or anything like that, because, there is that constant replenishing of other birds out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the hunting of the feathers and the headdresses is just one instance of where these birds are becoming less and less, but taking to logging that's going on and mining and all the other factors that threaten the habitat of these birds, they're always coming under more and more pressure of losing their habitat. So as much as we can educate, the more we can educate the people of Papua New Guinea how to look after their feathers and store them correctly, it's just another tool that the tool that helps the conservation of the species long term.
Absolutely, no doubt. If people want to, if they're in Papua New Guinea and they go to the Port Moresby Nature Park, would they be able to see the new chick?
It's not on display just yet because birds of paradise are generally quite solitary. So once the young have become independent, they generally fly off and find their own little habitat somewhere else away from the parents. So because we have a number of aviaries that have the magnificent rifle bird in them, we have to be very careful of where we put the chick so it's not going to get competition from the other from the other individuals. So at this stage, it's off display, but you can see the parents and other individuals if you come to the park, along with many other birds of paradise species as well.
Absolutely. Does the park have other breeding programs for the birds there?
Yeah, we have breeding programs for as many of the species that we can hold. So a lot of our bird of paradise species, we have breeding programs. So there are a number of other species, the crinkle-collared manakote, which is probably not an attractive bird of paradise. Like a lot of people may think, the beautiful feathers, it looks a little bit more like a crow.
Yeah.
But that's, again, we're the only people in the world that are breeding that particular species. And then the red jana, which is the national emblem of Papua New Guinea, we're also looking at having a breeding program for them as well. Again, we're getting them to breed and lay eggs, but we just haven't successfully had them go right through to adulthood at the moment. So that's another one we're working on at the moment. So, every time we breed a new species, magnificent rifle bird being one of them, then it's very exciting that we're doing something right and we can learn from that experience to then transform onto other species within the park.
Yeah, absolutely. It must be so interesting working at the park where you're like, celebrating births and, all this exciting stuff that must happen all the time.
Yeah, it's great. And it's great for the staff as well because, it's not a culture that they grow up to be zookeepers or animal carers or anything like that. It's a very different culture in Papua New Guinea. So for them to be looking after these animals and see them breeding and raising offspring, they get a great satisfaction that they're doing what other people around the world are doing in zoos as well. So it's quite exciting for the whole, family at the zoo, at the park.